How do they really identify those generational curses, and then what steps do they take?
But in the spirit, that actually passes down, and you'll see it in a family. You'll see it generationally. You'll see it in, you know, the grandparents and the parents and the children and great-grandparents. It is my job as the grandparent to make sure that we come out of agreement and break all the assignments off Christy's side of the family, off my side of the family, off Yochanan and Hannah, the Marcelinos. If you'll come out of agreement with your counterfeit self, it will bring peace of mind.
All right, in this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast, we are breaking down generational curses and how to cancel them. So let's jump straight into it. Rabbi, let's just address the topic straight up. What is a generational curse?
Okay, a generational curse, really what it is, it's a habit or a pattern, you've heard me say this, but in the spirit, that actually passes down, and you'll see it in a family. You'll see it generationally. You'll see it in, you know, the grandparents and the parents and the children and great-grandparents. And I'll just give you some basics like divorce and addiction, cancer, chronic illnesses, poverty, physical and sexual abuse, all those types of things. You'll see it, like, particularly like in women, you'll see breast cancer. You'll see the breast cancer, you know, traveling. You know, probably the biggest thing when I teach on this, Daryl, that the objection is, well, you know, Jesus has reversed the curse. And yes, he has. But we also have to apply it and enforce it. And, you know, it says that in the Bible, it says that a curse is for four generations and a blessing for 1,000. And so we have the responsibility and the opportunity when we get born again to reverse the curses, but we have to actually, and that's why we're doing this podcast. It doesn't just happen because you say Jesus is Lord and you get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, that these familiar spirits in what I call bloodline curses, generational curses, you know, and people will say, well, generational curses isn't in the Bible, but curses to the fourth generation is in the Bible. So you have to be able to get to a place where, you know, I've got a, you can put a link on this. I've got a blog on this that really breaks it down, but it's probably, I think this information is some of the most important information for you as a mother, a father, a grandparent, whatever, for your family as a believer, that you actually, so to say, take it I'll just tell you how we do it. It is my job as the grandparent to make sure that we come out of agreement and break all the assignments off Christy's side of the family, off my side of the family, off Yochanan and Hannah, the Marcelinos. We break all those assignments. And so for me, being adopted, I'm breaking them off the adoptive and off the biological. And why is it? Because I'm familiar with it. I was raised with it. I lived it. And so I can watch, in just as an example with the grandchildren, they actually, there'll be behavior. And when they do, Paul and Megan will say, well, that's Curtis. So anything bad that happens, they'll say, yeah, that's a Curtis, you know. And it's funny, but actually it is, because I'm watching those, that DNA of the DNA and the spirit reproducing itself. So you have a unique opportunity as parents and grandparents to be able to, now I know you have adoptive children and I'm an adoptive child. What happens is you have an opportunity because they're your children, and you have the ability to be able to see the behavior that's coming, whether it's, you know, from addiction or something sexual, something in poverty, whatever it is. Those things are not from the Lord. Jesus came to bring life more abundantly. Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. So if you're feeling lack, bondage, doubt, confusion, temptation, all those things, we have the responsibility as parents not just to educate our children, but to spiritually cover them and to break those assignments. you need to break it off yourself and off, you know, if your parents are still alive, you need to get that all cut off so that stuff isn't filtering into your children. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So my mind goes straight to someone listening or watching this episode is, I guess, first off, how do they really identify those generational curses? And then what steps do they take, if you want to kind of walk them through fundamentally on how to do that?
Okay. So let's first identify. Okay. So I want to talk to you about identifying them. And like I say, you can get my blog on this, but you need to ask yourself these questions. Okay. So I'm just going to ask them to you. The first one, do I have lack of passion for spiritual things? Because when generational curses are working, one of the first things they do is they drain your spiritual energy. You're not on fire. Mm-hmm. You feel complacent, or maybe oppressed or even depressed, okay? So that's usually, I look at it as you have a hole in the bucket. You can go and be in services. You can watch podcasts. You can go to the One New Man app, and you're doing your goals to grow. You're doing everything, but you can't seem to hang on to the energy. It's usually the hole in the bucket's a generational curse. Okay. Number two, do I battle excessive frustration? Like, are you constantly frustrated? You're angry, impatient. Those come from generational inequitous structures. And number three, do I doubt God's goodness and faithfulness? So when you start entertaining fear and doubting that the Lord can do miracles, usually it's coming from past disappointments or something you're remembering in your past that, you know, well, it didn't work for my family that way. Or, you know, my family, I see this a lot. This is something where you'll see a lot of hardworking families where the family works, or the family goes into a small business venture, and they get about 3 years in, and they quit and they go bankrupt and that type of thing, or they quit and they don't go bankrupt, but they can't get to that finish line. So what happens is there's actually a generational curse of quitting before you finish. I see that in people. So you have to be able to break those spirits. Number four, do I battle tormenting thoughts and miss out on the peace of God? If you're not able to enter into the peace of God, like if you have trouble sleeping at night, you're having bad dreams, all that type of stuff, most likely, listen, I'm not saying 100%. This is kind of like I'm speaking to you today, like a doctor in the spirit, so to say. It's not, nothing is 100%, but there are high probabilities if you're having insomnia, stress, high blood pressure, gastrointestinal stuff, it's because of generational curses. So I can tell you when I was in my late 20s, I was extremely successful. But at that time, I was drinking too much. Every day I had to have a half a bottle of Maalox. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's kind of an acid thing. I'll just say this. My intestinal system did not work properly for like probably 5 years. Okay. So I'm messed up. I'm like from 24 to 28 in that range. And what was happening is like, what was the generational curse of that? Fear of failure. I had a tremendous fear. So I would work as hard as I could because my identity was in success. Because that, I can tell you for sure, in my biological father, who I found when I was 36, who is a self-made multimillionaire, that gene was passed on to me, where you fear failure so much that you actually start sacrificing your marriage, your health, your friends, because you absolutely have to succeed. Well, that was a curse, and I had to have that broken. And when I did, man, it just set me free, you know, so those types of things like that tormented. Five, do I lack understanding or have confusion over my purpose to where you can't just launch in? Okay. So I'll give you an example, Daryl. So we just recently came from Nashville, and And we're doing a documentary on what it's like, I guess, the behind the scenes of what it's like to be with Rabbi and Christy on the road. And so anyway, we meet another minister. Okay, I don't want to say his name right now, but we meet he and his wife. And they're very successful, and they've been ministering for 33 years. And when they started out in their ministry, there was like 1,000 people that started out to go. This was, they were they're ministering in Russia. And there was like 1,000 families, they said, that all went to start churches in Russia. This is before the Iron Curtain came down. And now they're 30-something years later, and they're the only ones. And so, and Christy and I are the same story with in regards to what we started in Israel. And now there was probably 100 or so of us that started, and now she and I are the only ones. So you have to ask yourself, what did these two families, what did Russia and the Israel call, what did they do? And I know what we did, because I heard it come out of his mouth, is I stay in my own lane. Okay. I don't do what other people do. I know specifically my identity and my purpose, and I stay within that lane of that identity and that purpose. And that's what caused the success. But here, if you look at this confusion, lacking confusion over purpose, is because when you don't know your purpose, it's usually some generational curse of insecurity, fear, an orphan spirit, a curse of doubt and unbelief, all those things. So what happens is when you have fear, doubt and unbelief and insecurity, what do you have? You have man-pleasing spirit. And you cannot be at peace with God when you're a man-pleaser. So you met the gentleman and you saw what happened when we first met, like probably within a minute where there was a bond there. Why? Because you had two people who were saying, this is who I am. This is who I am. You can't be me. I can't be you. But you know what? If we come together, we could be stronger. So there's no competition or no. So, but that comes from an inner healing over the years of breaking the generational curses of insecurity and fear. Okay. Is that okay? Am I?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, rolling.
Okay. Six, do I question a calling and a direction that was once discernible? So, I think since COVID and everything that we've gone through with this current election and everything's been so brutal, and there's been so much, mass media manipulation. I think where people are right now is people have had calls and they've had prophetic words, let's say from 5, 10, 12 years ago. And what happens is now they're not discernible because too many people, places, and circumstances have buried their call kind of in an ash heap of woundedness. That's what I see in people. So I'll just give you another example. You saw what happened in Nashville. So this is what went on in my mind. Here's a behind the scenes. Okay. The anointing's really strong on me. And I think, okay, I want to pray for some people. This is the Kurt mind. I'm going to pray for some people. So I told people, if you're over on this side and you want prayer, then you just go to this way, trying to keep it decent in order, right? You go over here, come down here. So in the Kurt mind, I'm thinking, okay, 2 from the first row, 3, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Okay. Total of 20. They come down this way. This one, these come out, maybe 20 here, 20 there, you know, we'll pray for half an hour and we'll go home. Well,
that's not what happened.
According to Pastor Todd, the sanctuary holds 600 people and 600 people got prayed for. So, that was not my plan. And then people say, well, why didn't you have your wife help you? Because if she'd have come in and prayed, we prayed for 4 hours, it would have been 8 because she would have prayed. And she also prays more intently and deeper and better than I do. So it'd have been, I don't know, it'd have been daylight when we got out of there. So anyway, that's why I didn't have her come down, because I was thinking, oh my gosh, I really miscalculated. But this is my point. My point is, if you could see the need, of course you could because you were there, but the need on the people's faces for a word and a touch from God, it was, I mean, you know, when the scripture said, and Jesus was moved with compassion, That's where I was at. I was going, I have to pray for every single one of these people. My heart broke for them. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that their feeling, number seven, I was lured into an area previously of bondage. They were born again. They got saved. Most of these people are born again and saved, but now they're back into a bondage of allowing people, places, and circumstances to be more powerful than the sovereignty of an almighty God. And they just need to be loved on and reassured. And it's not that they're not loved on in their church, but basically you could just see people lined up on the wall with generational curses that needed to be broken. And, you know, and so that's kind of that. I haven't been out in that many people in a long time, but I can tell you in 33 years of doing ministry, I have never seen an entire church answer an altar call and say, I need prayer. I mean, it was like,
yeah, I mean, it was pretty amazing to see.
It
went on and on. I almost kind of felt not bad for you. I mean, I was glad it was happening, but me and some of the donor relations team that was there on the trip was just, I mean, like, you know, every 30, 40 minutes. I mean, I filmed a good bit of it. And then at some point I was like, okay, I mean, like, we have enough to kind of document this. And so I went out to kind of help with some other things, and we just kept peeking in. And it was just, I mean, the line just kept getting longer and longer.
Yeah. Well, it has to do with the need. And so, like, this subject, this is one of these subjects that people, religious people, attack it. Jesus took all the curses. And I'm thinking, well, if that's the case, I am a very common sense, practical believer. If that's the case, then why not everybody that gets saved is totally healed and free from cancer and doubt and unbelief and addiction and all the stuff that we see in the church? It's like, no. So there has to be a place where really you take the words of Jesus and it's, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and to destroy all the works of the devil. So it's kind of like what we're coming up on now. We have Purim coming. Esther had to prepare herself to go to the king. There's a certain amount of responsibility. You don't just call on Jesus, so to say, go to a beach chair with a drink and an umbrella and say, praise God, give me a drink of the new wine of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to be healed. You know, it just doesn't. I wished it worked like that. Please, I so wish, but it doesn't. And that's why you need to be able to understand there are ways. I'm going to give you the last couple of them. It says, and I'm tempted to quit my personal assignment. That's where people are right now. People are just, I mean, the professional pastors and ministers and evangel people that I know, man, they are dropping out of ministry. Like, it's really interesting because at my age, I have a 20-year plan. And I know the demand of like what we carry at Kurt Landry Ministries is at high level. And it carries, in our lane, it carries part of the answer. And one of the answers is these generational curses. It's part of the spiritual warfare. You know, I'm going to be doing some training in 2025, and it's going to be called, I'm just going to tell you about it, just a little push on it, it's going to be called Summit Leadership Training. Now, so why am I going to finish the last 20 years of my ministry doing this type of training? And I'll tell you why. What you have to do in ministry, if you read the book Good to Great, what happens with that is what you do is you identify what you're really great at and you allow what you're good at to go. You can delegate that out to other people and still be good. But if you're going to become a great organization or a great person or a great parent or a great whatever, then you have to identify the three things that you're gifted at. And so for me, the three things I'm gifted at is number one, bring impartation to the power of your identity of who you are in Christ. Because once you plug into that identity, then your purpose is a byproduct of that experience. Okay. But what happens with people, this is coming from 33 years of experience. once a person really has an encounter, listen, as long as you're your counterfeit self, no one, Satan and the demons don't really care. You're so busy sinning and falling and failing on your own, he can just get the little impy spirit and just say, well, make sure they stay on the merry-go-round and cycle and get nowhere, okay? But once you get off that merry-go-round and you get to a place where you say, oh my gosh, I have actually labored to rest, I find my identity, and now you start walking in your purpose, the very next thing, so phase one of Summit Leadership is identity, next one is spiritual warfare. It's like anything else. You have a treasure, you have something of value, you're going to have security. You know, if you got $2, you don't need security. But if you got $1 million and you're carrying it, you might want to have some help. So when you're carrying the treasure of God's goodness in you and your purpose, and then you need to know spiritual warfare. And then third, you need to be able to fund what you're doing. And when I say fund, I mean this. You need to have wisdom, knowledge, understanding, personal health, wealth, and networking and connections to take the new you and the new purpose into the supernatural level. So like the last 20 years of my life is going to be, that's what the Lord has, so to say, that's my narrow spot is identity, spiritual warfare, and alignment. Because if you'll bring yourself into those alignments, then you could say, well, I thought you were talking about, generational curses. The first thing you have to do in your identity is break the generational curses. This podcast, this is step uno nuno. Uno. This is it. Number one, you have to come out of agreement with the spirits and the habits and patterns from your family line that caused a counterfeit fake identity. Because what happens is now your kingdom identity as a son of the king, a king and priest according to the order of Melchizedek, prosperous, healthy, wealthy, and wise, a Solomon, a Daniel, an Esther, a Deborah, all those types of things. When you're going to embrace that, who's battling that? Well, I can tell you this, in my family line, as one who was born out of wedlock and an orphan and adopted and all the different stuff, in my family line, there wasn't any Daniels and Solomons. You know, there was a Joe and a Ray and a World War II guy and just normal everyday people. All this stuff was happening. And so what happens is I have to detach myself from that and embrace my new identity.
So let's land the plane. What's, say, one takeaway that someone can have and capture from this episode and kind of move forward as we end this episode?
I think one of the things is you have to look as a takeaway. A takeaway for this, it would be by coming out of agreement, and I'm going to pray for you here in a minute too. If you'll come out of agreement with your counterfeit self, it will bring peace of mind. If you come out of agreement with your counterfeit self and the generational curses in your family, you will have the joy of the Lord. If you will come out of agreement with your fears and doubts and unbelief, you'll have spiritual strength with the joy of the Lord. And once you have all them, then your actual lifestyle will be, you'll have prosperity, provision, and divine protection. That's the takeaway. That's why you would say, why would I invest in doing this? Why would I even believe in this type of doctrine of coming out of agreement with it? But I would say it like anything else. Do you have to do this for salvation? Absolutely not. Jesus is the Lord. You call on him, your name's in the book, you're going to heaven, you're saved. But I'm talking about in our ministry, our job is to get you into the identity of who God created you to be, teach you the spiritual warfare principles to be able to promote, multiply, and protect many, and align with God so that you have more than enough in every single area of your life, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, peace, wealth, and health. And if you have that, then you actually become, your lifestyle actually becomes a tremendous evangelistic tool. You don't even have to preach. People just watch you and they say, I don't know what it is about you or what you have. They'll come to you, and I'm telling you, this happens to us. They'll say, what is it about you? You watch watched it in the green room afterwards. They start asking questions, like, because they didn't, they're seeing and feeling the results of it. That's what you need in your life. You need a life where you have deliverables. You need to have a life where you're overcoming Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, not just to others, but in yourself as well.
All right, so Rabbi, let's wrap this up in prayer for everyone watching and listening.
Well, Father God, we just come to you now in the name of Yeshua. And if you'll just say these words with me, say, Father God, in Yeshua's name, I pray that you would reveal to me and show me the areas in my life that are connected to generational curses or inequities. That, Father God, I need to be able to identify them so that I can come out of agreement with them. So the way it works is this. Let's say you have, I'll just use one example. In your family, you have a generational curse of anger. There are places where you just, you're long and patient and all of a sudden, but once you go off, you're off. And that's a generational curse of anger and murder, actually. So what you'll do is this. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to forgive my family and forgive me for a spirit of murder and anger, that, Lord, that is not from you. We bind that spirit of anger and murder, and we cast it off me, my children, my grandchildren. And Lord, I thank you that I am free from all generational iniquitous structures of anger and murder in the spirit, the way of Cain. Cain killed his brother Abel over it. So Lord, we don't want that in our family line. It's not from you. We come out of agreement with it. We renounce it and we repent of it and we decree and declare, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed and cleansed from all spirit of murder and death because I receive a spirit of blessing and life. I am a vessel. My children, my wife, all of us, we are vessels of life, not death, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me today.
Well, that's going to do for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. If you're watching this video and you're not yet subscribed to the channel, do us a favor, go and hit that subscribe button. Also hit like button as well. It's going to really help the engagement on this video. And also want to throw this out there. If you have topics that you want us to cover and do a podcast episode on, do us a favor, drop that in the comment section. Our team's going to look at it, add it to a big list, and then we'll go through it. And hopefully we can touch on some of these topics for a future episode. I'll do it this week. We'll see you next week for another episode.